Luke chapter number 13. I hope you're there with me. I'm going to start reading in verse number 1 as soon as I find some glasses. And I'm going to be preaching starting in verse number 10, but we'll read a little bit and get a little bit of a background going in this thing. The Bible says there was present at that season some that told him of the Galileans. And Brother Matt, I still got that ring up here pretty bad, brother. So if you could help me out, maybe just turn me down up here. It might be what I need. So they were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And so anyhow, the beginning of this chapter starts off and we find, I got a bad ring up here. Can you see me on the thing, Michelle? Please make it work. I can't be up there. It's too much ringing. All right. So at the beginning of the chapter, we find that here Jesus is addressing people as far as some events that had happened, some events that had taken place. And he was addressing the people in these events, and he was saying, do you think for any moment that they were more of a sinner than the others? And he goes on, and he tells us of a parable. He speaks a parable, and in this parable, he talks about a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. I want you to look at the time frame. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years... And so I don't know, I was doing just reading as I was preparing for this and thinking about Christ's ministry and how he ministered for 3 years and how he prepared and how he invested in this vineyard for 3 years and still found no fruit on it. But when the man owned the vineyard, when he was ready to cut down the fig tree, worker in the vineyard, he says, or the dresser of this vineyard, which we know is a correlation between God the Father and God the Son, he said, give it more time. Give it another year. Let me dung it. Let me prepare it. Let me do some things to make this fruitful, all right? And then after this, we come to our text that we're going to be talking about. Now, the reason that I brought all that out and the reason that I went back on the background there is because I think that God may be trying to do something in our life and maybe trying to do something in America. And you could correlate these stories and put them together and you could see that God has given us a great responsibility. He's given us a great privilege in that we have the gospel, in that you and I, we know more about Scripture and more about the gospel than most people at any time. And so, anyhow, Jake, do me a favor and come unplug these things, and I'm going to get back up there, all right? And I'm sorry, y'all, but just unplug both of them monitors for me, if you will, all right? So, maybe God is trying to do something and get us prepared to bear fruit. And we come to verse number 10. The Bible says, "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately he was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him." So, if I can, I want to say this. I want to start, and I want to say, all right, we took and we looked at the scripture, and we seen the parable of the fig tree, and then we come to this woman that has an infirmity, the Bible says, of 18 years. So God, I think, maybe, let's just look at it this way. In this chapter, let's tie it in and say that God is trying to do a work. He's come again and again to the Jews for 3 years. He said he's come and there's been no fruit. And now he's saying, I want to cut it out. I want to do away with it. But Jesus, the vine dresser, the dresser of the vineyard, he says, give me one more year. Let me dung it. Let me give me a little more time to work, to make this work, to make them fruitful, all right? Now, we come to this verse, in verse number 10, we find out he's preaching and teaching on the Sabbath day in the synagogue. And we find a woman, we find that she is a woman, the Bible tells us that she is a daughter of Abraham, which means that she is a Jew, and we find her in the synagogue going about her daily activity, whatever that may be, but being faithful to the house of God. And we see that she has an infirmity. We find out that this infirmity is from Satan. We find out that Satan has bound her. Now, this is not a demonic possession. Jesus touched her, and Jesus never touched, in any of the scripture, you'll never find where Jesus touched a possessed person. He would speak, and the devils would listen. So this woman was not demon possessed. She had an infirmity which had been given to her by Satan. And can I say this? I believe that you and I and America has an infirmity that's been given to us by Satan. I believe that you and I, we closely relate to the condition that this woman was in. The Bible says that she was bent over. The Bible says that she was basically doubled up is what this was. Whatever her physical or medical condition was, it caused her to be bent over. It caused her to be basically doubled over or bent in half. Now the significance of that was that she could not look up. The significance of that was that she could not see heavenly things. All she could see was earthly things. I believe that you and I are in a condition right now, a spiritual condition, and Satan has us bent over. Right now, all you and I can see is what's here and now. All you and I can see is what's going on this earth. We're bent over and we are missing the view of heaven. We are missing what God would have us to see. And so today, I want to preach just for a few moments and I will get out of here, but I want to preach on when God straightens us up. When God straightens us up. I believe if you tie the scripture back to the parable, 3 years God's been trying to do something with the nation of Israel, and they have yet to bear fruit. And Jesus said, give me one more time. Give me one more chance to make them fruitful. Give me one more chance to do something to bring them back to you. And then we have a parable of this woman, a Jewish woman in the synagogue in front of the religious leaders. And here Jesus heals her. Jesus shows us that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus shows them that he is God Almighty. And yet they still, we know from Scripture, they still don't turn back to God. Now, that problem can be the same problem for you and I if we're not careful. God is trying to do something in our lives. God is trying to show us something. And if we're not careful and we miss it, we'd be just like the Jews. We'll be crucifying him tomorrow. Now, I hope you understand what I'm saying right here. I believe that this pandemic, all right, is God's way of straightening us out. Up until this pandemic, you and I have had our eyes on nothing but the world. I preach, and man, most people don't come to church because they got something going on this night, or they can't be here this night, and we're all guilty of it. Don't get mad. Don't cut off your live feed yet. Stay with me. You make all kind of excuses why we can't be at church, why we can't do this, why we can't do that. We schedule things that we know are going to conflict with our time at church, but they won't conflict with our time at work. They won't conflict with our time at play. They won't conflict with our time at rest. But we don't mind them conflicting with our time of worship. The things that you and I have done in our lives over the last few years, we've allowed Satan to make us busy. And we've gotten so busy that we're doubled over. We've gotten so busy that we're bent over and we can't see the things of God. We're oblivious to the things of God. We get a challenge to go out and share our testimony with somebody, and we would rather just invite them to church than to tell them about Jesus. Why? Because our view is so messed up. We got our eyes on the things of this world, and what's not going to hurt me right now, what's not going to affect me right now, you not being godly is not going to affect you right now. You're scared to death to step out of your comfort zone. God's thrown us out of the church to be the church, and yet we still ain't being the church. We issued a challenge weeks ago for you to share your testimony, and you still won't do that, but you'll demand that we do all kind of things to make the word of God available to you, but you won't do what God tells you to do. You won't do what the word of God tells you to do. Maybe your 3 years are up. Maybe God's saying, you know what? I have had enough. Cut it down. Be done with it. And Jesus is stepping in and saying, hey, give me just one more shot at him. Give me just one more chance at him. Give me just one more time and let me do what I can to try to make them fruitful again. Now, I like this. You might not. I hope that this ain't too hard of preaching for you, but I want you to understand something. I believe God's trying to do something. I believe God's trying to show us something here if we'll let him show us. What I'm trying to say is God's trying to straighten us out right now. So how are we going to do this? Let's take a look at it. I want you to notice, first off, with me, I want you to notice her condition. It was severe. It was severe. Probably in all of Scripture, this woman's pain was more than any of that we've ever seen. Others had, they were blind. Yes, I'm not putting anything off of a blind man, but I'm saying this woman was doubled over in pain. And here, her condition was very severe, and it caused her to only have a view of things that was lower than her. It caused her to only be able to see and to get around by somebody's help. And here we see her condition. It was severe, but I want you to notice her condition was spiritual. Jesus made this distinction when he said in verse number 16, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years. This was 18 years. This was severe. This was something that she'd been going through and dealing with for a number of years. And we know that it was spiritual. It was from Satan. And can I say this? There's a lot of us in the same spiritual condition. We may not be in the physical condition, but we're in the spiritual condition. We're bent over, and all we can see are those things that are right there below us. All we can see are the things that you and I can control. All we can see with our eyes is what's down here below. And Jesus is trying to do something. Jesus is trying to straighten us out and get heaven back in view in our lives. We see her condition in verse number 11. The Bible says that she had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. She couldn't do it herself. I noticed this. It was severe. It was so severe that she could not lift up herself. Can I say this? The condition that America is in, the condition that most Christians are in, you're not going to fix it yourself. You're not going to be able to fix it yourself. We've been over in a spiritual condition and we've gotten to a place where we need God to step in and do a work for us. Which brings me to number two, point number two, her cure. Her cure. I noticed that her cure was found in her faithfulness. Now listen to me right here. The Bible says that she was bent over, but the Bible says that she was at the synagogue. She was at the place of corporate worship. Now I realize that we can't do that right now and that we're kind of limited on how we can meet, but I want you to notice something about this woman. She was faithful. Even though she had an infirmity, even though she had a physical condition that hindered her from walking, from interacting with people, from doing things, she still was in her place and where she was supposed to be. She was being faithful. Now let me say this. You don't have to be at church. You don't. I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to guilt trip you into being at church. You don't have to be at church at any point in time. But I want you to understand this. You're liable to miss out on a big blessing if you're not. And this woman would have missed out on a huge blessing had she not been in the church. She didn't come seeking. She didn't come asking to be healed. She didn't come looking to be healed. She was there at the Sabbath to hear him teach and to preach, to hear the word of God read. She wasn't there for any other purpose or any other reason than that. She didn't solicit Jesus to do anything for her. She didn't send friends to Jesus to do anything for her. She was just faithful, doing and living where God had placed her. She was being faithful. So her cure came in her faithfulness. But not only that, I notice this about her cure. I notice his compassion. Because of her faithfulness, Jesus seen her. Because he seen her, he had compassion on her. The Bible says in verse number 12, and when Jesus saw her, he never would have seen her if she hadn't been in her place. He wouldn't have seen her if she hadn't, and he knew everything, I understand that, but he never would have seen her had she not been in her place. And the fact of the matter is that we're asking God, you're asking God to do something. Don't ask God to do something if you're not willing to be faithful to the things that God has already called you to do. And so she's being faithful, and in her faithfulness, he shows compassion. The Bible says also in verse number 12 that he called her to him. Notice she didn't call him to her. He called her to him. I wonder in this time, in this pandemic, if God isn't calling us back to him. If God isn't looking at us with compassion and seeing our spiritual condition, how we're bent over, how we are in half, how we are have a view of things below but not of heaven above. I wonder if he's not looking and having compassion on us and calling us to him. Let me ask you a question. Are you closer to God now than when this thing started? Now you say, well, I ain't had church. That's no excuse. That's no excuse. You ain't had nobody to feed you either, but I bet you've still been eating. Right? I don't think you're starving. You ain't had nobody to take a fork and put food in your mouth, but I guarantee you that little hand of yours has been putting food in that mouth. So the question is through this pandemic, are you closer to God or are you farther away? Now, if you answer you're farther away, then there's a problem. And there's a problem that we need to fix. There's an infirmity. There's a spiritual condition there that needs to be fixed. Because the fact of the matter is that you and I have the Word of God. There's no reason. We have the Word of God and we have the privilege of prayer. There's no reason why you and I shouldn't be closer to God. There's more sermons out there than you can't. Everybody's a Facebook evangelist. I remember all the televangelists, all the preachers preaching against the televangelists. Now every preacher's a Facebook evangelist. Every preacher upset and aggravated about social media has now opened up an account and they're trying to get the word out. The biggest crowd they've ever preached to, some of them are preaching to 20 people. That's the biggest crowd they ever preached to on TV, on live feed. There's opportunities. What I'm getting at is for you to hear the gospel. There's opportunities for you to get training, for you to get teaching. There's opportunity, but the question is, are you taking them? Her cure came because she was faithful. She was faithful. Maybe you can't be faithful to the house of God, but you could be faithful to watching these things, watching these sermons, watching Brother Scott did a sermon Wednesday night. We do Sunday school on Sunday morning. I know it's early. I know 8:30 is just excruciating. I know on a Sunday, I mean, nobody should have to get up at 8:30. I realize that. I mean, 2 hours after daylight, nobody should have to get up that late or that early. I'm sorry. But the fact of the matter is if you and I won't be faithful to the things of God, then how can we complain when God doesn't do what we want?
Oh, yeah.
She was faithful. He was compassionate. He called her. And then I notice this. The Bible says in verse number 13, and he laid his hands on her. I think what a lot of us is missing from God and what a lot of us needs right now is a touch from the Lord. But we'll never get the touch from the Lord because we're not faithful to the things of God. And we're not obedient to the call of God. And so we're missing out on the touch of God. Because the fact of the matter is, the compassion of God, it's there all the time. God loves you. God loves you more than anything in Scripture. Go back. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you. You go back, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves you. The compassion is there. The problem, and maybe the reason why you're still bent over and you're not getting any relief, the reason that you're in the spiritual condition that you're in is because you're not faithful to the things of God, and you're not heeding the voice of God, and thereby you're missing the touch of God. I say you can only... The touch of God came to this woman because she was close to him. His physical touch on this woman was a result of her being obedient to him calling her. I might not even preach the rest of it. I probably will. But if you're not going to be obedient to his calling, then you're not going to receive his touch. The fact of the matter is he called her to him. If she would have stayed, if she hadn't have been obedient to that, he never could have touched her. Now, he didn't need to touch her to cure her. That's not what I'm saying. Don't get that wrong. Jesus, we've seen Jesus. He spoke this world into existence. He doesn't need to touch us to heal us. But at the same time, if you won't be obedient to the calling, then you won't be close enough for the touch. She was touched by him because she was obedient to the calling. She was obedient to the calling because she was faithful in her placement. If she hadn't have been where she should have been, she wouldn't have seen him. He wouldn't have seen her. He wouldn't have called her, and he couldn't have touched her. Lord, I hope you're getting this. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. Maybe God has hit the reset button. Maybe God's trying to straighten us out. Maybe we've gotten so bent over and our view of heaven is so distorted that all we can see is the ground below. And God is trying to do something for us right now. But we have to be faithful. Even now, even though we can't meet as a church, we got to stay faithful. And we got to heed to God's calling. He called her to him. He called her to him. She needed it. But she had to come to him to get it. The Bible says that he touched her. He could have never touched her unless she obeyed him calling her unto him. And can I say this? I didn't put this in the sermon, but this is something that needs to be brought out. When he acknowledged her and he called unto her, all eyes were on her. All eyes were on her. Her bent over, fragile body, all eyes was on her. It had to be a humbling. I would think that somebody in that condition would be leery of being in public at all. And yet, Jesus points her out in all the crowd and all the synagogue. You know, how many times have we stayed at home because there was something, some surgical procedure or something that we did that we couldn't fix our hair, we couldn't do this or we couldn't do that, and we didn't want to come to church because somebody might see this or somebody might see that? Could you imagine that? Now multiply that. This woman for 18 years, hunched over, bent over, probably trying not to draw attention to herself, and here Jesus draws attention to her and says, hey, come here. All eyes were on her, and he touched her. Now listen, I want to help you. God humbled her. And all of this, say, well, she was humbled already. And all of this, she was able, and for 18 years, she was able to just go about her business, hide amongst the crowd. But now she's being put in the spotlight. All eyes are on her. All attention is on her. How humbling would it be? All eyes and all attention are on Christians right now. People are looking to see how we're going to respond. Businesses are struggling, and I understand that, but how's the church going to respond? How are the people of God going to respond? Let me ask you something. Does our community know that Calvary Baptist isn't meeting anymore? We haven't been meeting since this pandemic. We've been struggling to meet. Do they know that? Have we affected our community enough that they miss us when we're not meeting? All eyes are on us. This woman's cure came because of her faithfulness. This woman's cure came because she was obedient to his calling. This woman's cure came because he touched her. But I want you to notice not only her condition or her cure, but I want you to notice her critics. Now I say this, now look at this in verse number 14. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Did you notice he didn't say, he wasn't addressing Jesus. He was addressing this woman and the crowd. He had a problem with the fact that she came and she got healed. Listen to what he says. Listen to the wording. The Bible says, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, in those 6 days, therefore, come and be healed. And not on the Sabbath day. He's saying, he wasn't addressing Jesus. He wasn't saying, don't heal on the Sabbath day. He said, don't come to be healed on the Sabbath day. Does anybody else see that? He wasn't addressing Jesus, although he was addressing Jesus. He wasn't addressing Jesus. He was more so addressing her. Listen, there's 6 days that you can come here and get healed. Choose one of them 6 days. Don't come here on the Sabbath. But the problem was, is the ruler of the synagogue had no power to heal this woman any of the 7 days of the week. The only person that could heal this woman was God, and he did so, and he chose to do it on the Sabbath. Can I say this? That when God straightens you out, you're going to have critics. They're not going to be mad at God. They're going to be mad at you because God did something for you. I've never in my life, but we are so self-centered that we can't even enjoy a blessing on somebody else's life. We are so self-centered that if it isn't us receiving the blessing, then it really wasn't a blessing. This critic, this ruler of the synagogue, he should have been a brother. He should have been one that was an encourager, one that was an exhorter, one that would have said, hey, look at what God did. Pray 18 years, this ruler of this synagogue seen this woman come in and day out for 18 years. There was no power in that synagogue any day before that to heal this woman. And now God sits amongst them. And God does a work. And somebody gets upset about it. How many times has this happened in church? Somebody that's begging and praying for a blessing gets one, and everybody else has to criticize how it went down or how it happened. I'm guilty of it. And if I'm guilty of it, maybe you're guilty of it. How bad is it to go into your prayer closet realizing that you're the critic? Her condition, I believe, is a spiritual condition. I believe it was something that you and I are facing right now spiritually. Her cure was a result of her faithfulness, his calling, and his touch. But her critics, it was a religious crowd. He had no ability to heal her, but he had no desire to see her unbound. He had no ability to loose her, but he had no desire to see her unbound. The question to you today, are you a critic? Are you a person that'll celebrate somebody's victories? Lastly, I'm done. Her condition, her cure, her critics, and lastly, her celebration. Verse number 13, the Bible says, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now, just for a moment here, I want you to notice the wording here. It doesn't say that she praised God, although I believe that praising God is a part of her glorifying God. The Bible says she glorified God. Do you know, I think it's 1 Corinthians. Y'all give me just a second. I didn't write this down. I got to go back and see if I can find it. First Corinthians chapter number 10. It says in verse number 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. The Bible says that she glorified God. For most Christians, and probably for you, the first thing that came to your mind was she praised him. You probably thought she raised her hands, ran a lap, screaming and hollering and everything else, and that was her glorifying God. But the fact of the matter is that you and I glorify God in our entire being, in our life. How can we glorify God? Number one, in the Word. We can glorify God by loving His Word. If you love me, keep my commandments. How do we glorify God? By loving His Word. How often have you been in the Word this week? How often have you had that personal time and devotion in the Word of God? Do you love the Word of God like you ought to? Not only do we see how we can glorify God in the Word of God, but in our walk. In our walk. I believe it goes far beyond just running around a church and raising our hands and everything else. It goes outside the door. What have you done out in your life, in this world, to glorify God? When you went to work this week, did you glorify God? When you met with others, did you glorify God? It's not just in His Word and a love for His Word, but it's also in our walk. And how we live our lives, we glorify God. Do people know you're a Christian? Say, well, I think they do. Are you glorifying God if they just think you think they do? The fact of the matter is that we glorify God. We should glorify God in every fiber of our being. Every morning, from the time we get up to the time we go to sleep, ought to be us glorifying God. Whatever things we do, whether we eat, drink, whatever we do, we are to glorify God. But we also glorify God in our worship. I can't separate the two. I believe this woman, when she was stood straight up, I don't know what the scripture doesn't tell us what she did. I just know what I'd have done, and after 18 years of being bent over, if somebody would have straightened me up, I'd have run about 14 laps, done about 16 backflips. I'd have done everything I could to praise God, to worship. They would have thought I was crazy. But she glorified God. Her celebration went far beyond just a hand-raising church. Let me encourage you. Let me encourage Calvary Baptist Church that we glorify God far beyond the walls of this building. We glorify God in the Word. We glorify God in our life. We glorify God in our worship. I hope I ain't been too rough with you this morning. There's just something that was on my heart. I wonder if the two don't tie together. The parable of the fig tree and the 3 years and no fruit. God said, give me another chance. And then he goes into the Jewish rulers and the Jewish people in the synagogue. And one more time, he tries to straighten them out. He gives them a miracle right before their eyes on the Sabbath day. A day, a place, a cure that only God could do. And yet they still were unfruitful. I notice in there, I think it's in verse number 14, he says, thou hypocrite. You'll notice thou is in italics. It wasn't in the, it was added. It was added by the translators to help us understand. But Jesus just straight called him hypocrite. This goes for all y'all that get so upset when somebody calls a name. Is everybody all right? He called them vipers. And here, he calls a man that's criticizing somebody else that got help, a hypocrite. I wonder how many of us could be labeled hypocrite. God's trying to straighten us out. Let's heed his call. Let's obey it. Let's come close to him. Let's be faithful in the things of the Lord. Let's receive our cure. And then let's celebrate by glorifying God. He's worthy. He's worthy of my time in the Word. He's worthy of my walk being pointed towards him instead of the things of this world. He's worthy of my worship. I pray it was a blessing to you this morning. I want to thank Jake and Matt and Dalton and Caitlin and Brother Scott and Brother Jackson, all these folks that come and help. And man, it's such a blessing. For y'all to be a part of this, it really helps me, and I appreciate y'all being here and those that come with them. I love you. I miss you. I'm ready for church. Next Sunday, we either going to do a parking lot service or we're just going to disobey everything and come inside and have a sure enough service, and we'll just see how it goes and see what comes this week. We're playing it by ear. I know Wednesday night we will do a Facebook Live, so be ready for that. And we'll glorify God in the Word and in our walk. But join us Wednesday night. If you have any needs, any questions, or anything like that, do give us a call. If you don't want to come, please don't come. Don't. I'm not begging. I'm